Hello and welcome to the fourth episode of the second ever season of the Plebs on Footy podcast. I'm your host, Rory O'Kane. As always, I'm joined by Scott Fotheringham. How are you feeling, buddy?
Frustration would be the tone of this pod.
I want to ask you a question. Did you watch any football after Melbourne lost in a catastrophic effort? Or were you just a broken man?
I was very, very
huddled under the blankets and didn't say a word to the outside world.
I was very, very flat about footy on the Sunday, but then I did get lifted by seeing a couple of the amusing results, and I managed to switch into the end of Carlton Essen.
It was a pretty funny round of football.
And I did have a good chuckle. I'll be with you on this one. I did have a good chuckle about Hawthorn.
Yeah, that's going to be at least 90% of the podcast, so we'll get to that. We're also joined by our producer and our fact checker, and I've added a new title for him. He's now our Richmond correspondent as well, because he does not shut up whenever the topic comes up. It's James Vicamp.
From frustration to ecstasy, how good is Richmond?
Did you see how desperately he wanted to run off and put his scarf on as well? He was like, I have to put it on for this pod.
There was absolutely no prompting for that to happen. We're also joined by our social media manager for the second time this season. He's on record pace. I suggested he might like to take a photo of James's over-enthusiasm for Richmond, but apparently his phone's dying, so he's failing in his role. Say g'day, Lee.
Upholding the very high standard that is this podcast, fellas.
We have at least one professional member. I think we are very good.
You said that's a number one thing to tick off for a social media manager, have a working phone. Probably the most important thing.
Yeah, and like, do stuff on the social media accounts. That's another important
factor. Fails on every account.
Yeah. I'd like to comment today.
I think we have to say, the title of Meme Lord is up for grabs.
Yes. Meme Lord, if you're wanting the title, just apply by posting any meme at all and sending it to the group, because our current Meme Lord, Stringer, has not done a single one.
He's got it while the total is zero, but if anyone takes it off him, they are
dead. We are adding staff for the enormous rate. They're all incompetent. But shockingly, Liam, our social media manager, is not the most incompetent, because he has done one thing.
It's gone from a very individualistic shit podcast to now a group shit podcast.
I resent that.
He puts a lot of effort in, Banjo. We know this.
My plan is 107 words long.
And the last 2 weeks you've had a plan out before you were sitting down about to record it. So you're improving.
Like, pat me on the back. I'm just a star.
I'm impressed, but, you know, I still got my segment running, so.
That's true. Every time I try, I am a pro, so I probably should. It falls flat on its face. But let's get to your segment, because
let's get to it.
It's enough nonsense.
Yep. Everyone's favourite segment once again, Gold Jacket, Green Jacket, the segment deriving from a line in Happy Gilmore, Gold Jacket, Green Jacket, who gives a shit. We give out 3-2-1 votes for the most meaningless games of the round, the games which we look at and think, well, who gives a shit?
I gotta say,
no, it's a good. It's
no,
a good.
No. I just need to write it down, and we'll post it on the Facebook page, and that way, people can just say, "I don't know what that means." Let's go to the FAQ, the frequently asked questions section, and it might tell us.
We can save all 7 seconds.
All good segments have an opening.
There is enough crap in this podcast. I don't think we need that spiel.
He's just jealous that he had about 6 cracks at having a segment. They all fell flat, and I've got the only good one that runs.
I don't think I've even come up with 6 cracks in a segment, to be honest. That's being very generous.
You had a few for 1 week. But anyway, let's actually get to the footy. I had the joy of sitting down trying to do Gold Jacket, Green Jacket. It was one of the more difficult ones.
Joy.
It makes me happy that I sit down and think, geez, there are a lot of good games.
It was a good round of football.
Footy's going well.
It's
a lovely start to the year.
Fantastic start to the year.
It's exciting footy. There are upsets. We don't know what's going on.
There's only one thing that could make it better, which would be North Melbourne being good. But other than that, pretty
and
good.
And Melbourne not blowing games, which we should win by 10
votes. No, I disagree. But that's a fantastic part of the season.
Anyway, one vote we're giving to Carlton Essendon. And that'll be a
controversial call here, Scott.
I was looking through it. The only real option was this and the Melbourne game. That's all I could really think about. And I mean,
so your bias came into it, did it?
Well, I wanted to have a long bitch about the Melbourne game. I didn't want to put it in Gold Jacket, Green Jacket. We're meant to get through it quickly.
Here I thought you were a professional that would hold himself to objective standards of journalism, but alas, you've proven me wrong.
Well, I am a pro, so I do have some standards, and you're just an ammo still. But anyway,
he didn't get paid tonight, so that's why he's putting down. Yeah,
exactly right. You didn't pay me my beer again. Just load up the night. You know I'm always here on a Monday. Make sure you have beers in the fridge.
I think you should look to the producer for ensuring that happens, because that would be a production issue. I would think. just quietly.
They still owe me a slab as well. But anyway, Carlton Essendon.
Yeah, if you're going to complain about your wages, complain about it from the source.
Anyway. Carlton Essendon, guys. Carlton Essendon. One of the main reasons I decided to put this in was regardless of the fact it was an upset.
The weather made it redundant.
Yeah, it doesn't really mean that much, does it? I mean, I think it was probably good coaching from Bolton. I think he had some numbers behind the ball. That worked well.
Yeah, like, it's good coaching in the sense of, like, what you do at an under-12s level. Like, Warsfall just backed in AFL skills, which were never going to exist.
No.
And that's why he got outcoached. If Warsfall had been like, you know what? This is like Tasmanian Football League level, where Bolton comes from. Fun fact. Then maybe... Oh, that's actually a good point. Bolton's used to coaching in the when he's from Tasmania.
Yeah, there you go. So he knew what to do. But like outside of that, it was basically just who wants it more.
Yeah.
And there maybe is a little bit of an element of Essendon being a little tired to the fact that they hadn't played the half... Like, oh,
it's three rounds in.
Yeah, but that's when it hits you. Two or three rounds in. Coming back from a long-term injury, that's what gets you.
Yeah, fair enough. I just think they were off their game, and Carlton tried really hard and won. Their pressure was good, which in the wet is the most important thing. Tactically, they simplified their game plan, which is the best thing for the wet. And yeah, they did well. They absolutely monstered them. They should have won by more when you look at scoring shots.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you with me on where the footy is really good? I bloody love wet weather. I'm the only person on grand final day who wants the rain. It's great. See, it's so exciting.
I'm not sure because I couldn't find myself getting excited about that game at all. Before I knew Hawthorn were going to get absolutely destroyed, I switched to the Gold Coast Hawthorn game because I thought Essendon Carlton is just boring. It may just be the two teams and I'm just disinterested in them.
When you feel the result's kind of important, The weather's fun. And this was important in the sense that it was good for Carlton. It's hilarious that Essendon supporters were so happy a couple of weeks ago. And now they've lost to Carlton.
Yeah, that is true. And that's a big takeaway from the game. But I just couldn't get excited about watching it.
I love it. Cracking in. The body's cracking in, getting sore. People cramping up in the last quarter, stuff like that. I love that.
I did like that. I think Carlton set a record for the most long sleeve jumpers in a game. They had, like, nearly half the team.
Well,
it was
in the last
phenomenal
years or whatever. Few back in the day.
Yeah, well, like, I haven't gone through the stats. It's a completely off the cuff comment. I'm backing myself in. I think it's right. Yeah, like,
it's
pretty much.
Yeah, yeah.
Have faith.
Do you think there's a lack of understanding by AFL teams and players to play in the wet? Because like, I was watching like West Coast, and as the media manager was quick to point out, I mean, they did like a switch at an important time and stuffed it up, and Richmond got a goal for it.
Oh, you've stolen his thunder. Oh, this is controversial.
Oh, no. I've wrecked the itinerary.
Liam,
the
do you want to add to this question?
All right, so I was watching the last quarter of the Richmond-West Coast game with Rory, and key part of the game in the last quarter, they're under pressure. West Coast switch across their own goal in torrential rain, turn the ball over and lose the game. Under-12s don't
match
do that.
Match ceiling goal.
Under-12s are taught not to do that. How does a professional football team, with professional players who get paid hundreds of thousands of dollars per year, do that at a key time in a key game?
Yeah, so
Explain this to me, please. I don't understand.
Well, that's probably the problem, they think that they're better than that. And they think that they have this game plan and that AFL football should be able to work through it. And they kind of back themselves to do more than they're probably capable of.
Yeah, I just like to add that when James ruined that segment by going early, a single tear fell down Liam's face. So that's the level of devastation that has gone on and been inflicted by our producer and his lack of awareness.
I've ruined the pod.
Yeah, we should restart, but alas, we'll push on.
But in all seriousness, it actually is a big issue. Like, pretty much every wet weather game, we come away saying that team played a bit simpler, and that's why they won the game.
It is quite phenomenal. It's just
territory. That's all that matters.
Yeah, it turns into a game of rugby. Like,
you kick the ball forward, back yourself to win a 50-50 ball, kick the ball forward again, and then eventually try to get into the goal.
Yeah, it's a war of attrition in the wet, but there's just not that many wet weather football games at the moment.
Yeah.
And not wet weather like that. Normally the drainage is good enough to keep the balls dry that it's not that big a deal, but it was absolutely pissing down on the weekend, and it sort of just messed with teams. Like, I haven't seen rain like that since, like, my last memory of that is that Anzac Day game where, what was it, Mark, someone, Coughlin or something, got one an Anzac medal in his like third game because he was a tough
kid. It was Zara Arkes kicking one in the wet on Anzac Day.
Oh, that's right.
That's a good moment. There was that other one last year which was like, there was storms and stuff
in Gold Coast?
In the Gold Coast, yeah. And that was worse. Like, that was crazy.
Yeah, that game could have reasonably been called off.
Anyway, back to what we were doing. Carlton was a big tick for keeping it simple in the way.
Yeah, we should move on because this will be the longest Gold Jacket Green Jacket of all time.
Yeah, two votes for giving it to St Kilda Brisbane.
And look, this was quite interesting as well.
Yeah, you end up looking at the result and you think, you know, 20... What was it? How much was it in the end? It was 20-odd points, wasn't it? You don't even have it there. It was 20-odd points.
Yeah, that's my bad.
It was 31 points in the end. So you look at that and you think, okay, that's just exactly what we expected. But halfway through the third quarter, Brisbane on top. They're not looking too bad, Brisbane.
No, they've improved a lot. It was quite interesting. Their first half of football was absolutely woeful. As bad as you'll see a team play. And the fact that St Kilda didn't destroy them in the first half is just a blight on their chances going forward. In the second, the start of the third quarter, they blitzed them. And then St Kilda wrestled back on top, which is props to them. But you also got to be worried. Their best player was Riewoldt. Their second best player was Munranga.
Just dominated,
What's going on? Where are their kids?
Yeah, there's no doubt they rely heavily on Riewoldt.
And like, this is what we've been talking about when we're rating them going forward. They haven't really had any out-and-out stars come out of their young kids. Like, Billings, a bit washy. McCartan's a young kid, but still doesn't look good.
Yeah, McCartan, he's just not convincing, is he?
No, he's like, his hands aren't clean, which is what you should see in a talented young key forward. And, like, he's a big enough unit that I don't think strength's his issue at the moment. It's just other little stuff, which I'd expect him to have nailed down first. Doesn't seem to be there. Jack Stevens and Jet, but he's not in that generation. He's in his prime midfielder.
Yeah.
Armitage is the same. There's not really much coming out of
that's how
Dunstan,
That's been the big argument. There's been the discussion between Melbourne and St Kilda. The big argument has been Melbourne are clearly relying on kids, and St Kilda are relying on their older players. And, like, they've still got enough kids there that they'll still be all right, but you can't quite see that core lifting them to top four, like, quickly.
I think their ceiling is sort of going to be in between Riewoldt's retirement and the kids getting to their prime. Like, they're not going to coincide at all, which is a big worry for them going forward.
Yep. Do you just want to quickly give me a little bit of credit on what I said about Brisbane?
What did you say about Brisbane?
About Lepage and saying that they'll be quite a competitive team now because they have a reasonable midfield.
Yeah, no, fantastic.
Yeah, I think I was dead on that.
You've nailed that.
Yeah, thank you.
Pat yourself on the back.
Thank you.
That was the biggest pat on your own back I've ever heard.
Yeah, well, I think I deserve it. I was dead on.
Someone called
that. Do you just want to congratulate me now, please?
Yeah, well, I
someone called that grossly self-indulgent. And I think those people are in this room, so let's move on.
I was surprised that he agreed with it so quickly. It was interesting.
Lepage sucked. What do you want?
Yeah, but everyone still thought that they'd be equally woeful this year. And I think they're quite. They're not great, but they're competitive.
Second last.
But I said they would be quite a competitive team.
Okay, let's move on.
I was dead on it.
People don't want to listen to
three votes in Gold Jacket, Green Jacket. We're giving to your boys. All right, so I'm quite happily to North and GWS, I'll say.
Gold Jacket, Green Jacket, who gives a shit?
Not our best work. That probably could have been turned up.
It probably could have been a little bit louder, but what I really enjoyed about this game was, so last week you lost by a point, and this week you said if you get within 40, you'll be happy, and it was 42. I had a good chuckle at that. And for most of the game, it looked like you were definitely going to be within 40 as well.
Yeah, they blew us out in the last few minutes, but that should have happened a lot earlier, to be honest. They were significantly better. It was a terrible game of football. Skills were quite poor, which is weird from a GWS game. But they sort of, I don't know, North out tried them, I guess. So they sort of controlled where the ball was going, the clearances. They were seemed to control the flow of the ball, and we kept on the front foot, but would just be beaten by turnovers. It was quite interesting. But GWS haven't quite clicked yet.
No, they haven't, have they? I mean, you would expect them to have absolutely flogged you, really. I mean,
to be fair, they were probably 20 points underdone on the scoreboard.
Mm.
Their goal kicking was shocking.
Okay, because I'm a bit torn at the moment. I don't know whether I should be happy about where North Melbourne are. Well, I actually think you've been better than I expected. Like, you almost beat Geelong, who I actually don't think are that great, but we'll get to that.
You've stolen my opinion.
Yeah,
there.
No, I'm with you. I haven't seen them play closely this week. But within a point, and then this week, I mean, for most of the game you were with GWS. I know you said it wasn't a good game of footy, but in some ways I'm a little disappointed. I was hoping
there
be
was
worse.
Also that we had the win for the first and third quarters, which sort of helps keep it close early. But yeah, again, it was just a bad game of football, really.
And conditions played a part again.
Yeah, it was windy, just like the North Melbourne game in round three last year. But going forward, I think, well, the big story is Proust, but we've got a question later that I'm going to talk about him in.
He's the one thing keeping you happy going forward. I'm happy to have it.
We've got the first, we've got the best and second best ruckman in the comp. It's
I wouldn't
phenomenal.
Quite say that. Although Max has been removed for a temporary period.
But yeah, let's move on. That was Gold Jacket, Green Jacket. Let's get to the good games of football. Collingwood, Sydney.
We're starting with a very good game of football.
It was all right.
This was a cracker. This is the best game I've seen this year, quite clearly for me. It was interesting because the first quarter was actually kind of boring.
Sydney had two inside 50s.
Sydney just didn't
When was
turn
the
up?
Last time a team as good as Sydney, which, you know, might be... They might be on the downswing, but anyway, when was the team that good and that, like, with that pedigree, have two inside 50s?
It's amazing how it can happen in professional sport that a team can quite clearly not turn up for the first quarter. And then from the first second of the second quarter, you can see it was an entirely different game of football.
Yeah, it's
like,
weird
that
the switch doesn't get flipped until a break. But anyway, Collingwood have actually, they've probably saved their season here. 0-3, they're not a team that would have been good enough to come back from that. 1-2 is a lot better. With a good win under their belt, their form line looks okay. Close to the Dogs, close to Richmond, who are maybe decent. Not going to go much further than that unless... I don't want anyone getting too big a head in this room. But, like... Are they okay?
Their style of play... Bucks has been getting a lot of pats on the back of the way that they opened the game, that they were chipping the ball around, keeping the ball off Sydney, which is all fine when it comes off well, but I thought they were doing the same thing the previous week, and the problem was their kicking wasn't amazing.
I don't think they've got the skills to consistently do that.
It got to quarter time, they could not have kicked the ball any better. They were in something like the 90-odd percentile kicking efficiency. Sydney basically didn't have the footy, and they were still only up by a few goals. And then Sydney didn't take that long switching on and just playing simple footy of just getting it in there to level it up. And even Collingwood's goals in the first quarter, Fasolo kicked one from the boundary to open up. He had a nice snap from a pack. Then there was another one from the boundary line. They're kicking some, like, miracle goals in order to put them on the board. I feel like their style of play is not making it easy for them.
I agree, but to be fair, Sydney did get back in the game very quickly, and from there on, Collingwood still were able to win the game. And also, Collingwood butchered some simple set shots late. So, like, it kind of swings around.
I felt like
there
came to a point after half time where it just became a cracking game of footy. Like, the pressure was so high that, like, teams weren't really thinking through it. It was basically just banging on. And, like, that they had some really good pieces of play doing that. But I felt like they went into the game with the intention of having this chipping the ball around style. And I don't think they actually got reward for effort in terms of, like, how much they dominated the game. A simpler game plan, you can get on top a lot easier.
Do you think it's a way of protecting themselves defensively? Do you think that's what they're doing?
I don't think that's what they're doing.
The thing is, Shade was quite good on Buddy. Kept him goalless. Sort of. Maybe might be something. They've got Ben Reid.
If you're worried about yourself defensively, you start worrying about working on your defence. You don't think let's just keep possession so that we won't get caught out defensively. That's not the way to go forward.
I don't know. Bucks is an odd fella. I could see that thought process happening.
He gets a tick this week without doubt. And it was it was a very, very good win. And geez, Sydney. They're in trouble now. But they haven't been that far off, is the frustrating thing for a Sydney supporter.
And they've had so many injuries. The thing is, they're not getting them back for another 3 weeks for most of them. And that's, like,
they've
the good
got a
one.
Tough draw,
and then they've got... Yeah, and then they've got West Coast away next week and with a pretty short rest. And then also GWS. So if they're 0-5, can you see them making finals?
I'm not writing them off. I had the message from you on the night saying they're not going to make finals.
I said probably not.
Probably not.
But for the sake of entertainment, I'm rubber stamping it. Lock it in.
I refuse to write a team with that many good players off. And they've still got a core group of very good players out there. Yes, they are missing
most
some
of them are players. Underperforming though, which is a bit of a concern.
Hanbury had a better game. He was
Park is still not fired a shot.
Park is an interesting one. He went through a patch where he looked like he'd become that consistent star. His problem is he's forward half the time.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. They've got a sort of hole in their midfield just to like Heaney not being there, but they're not compensating by putting Parker's in the midfield more.
Heaney, though.
Yeah, I know, but you'd still think you'd want your best players in the midfield more when one of them's not playing. Are they that worried about their forward line? I mean, Reed's setting the house on fire. Buddy,
was that the most almost game of footy you've ever seen? Like, just every time he looked like he was ready to break it open the entire day, and just every time he got smothered, he hit the post, and just something went wrong.
To be fair, that's like one in three Buddy games where he doesn't dominate.
Nah, normally he'll get a couple on the board. That's crazy.
But yeah, so what does Sydney do to fix themselves? Is it just wait for the cavalry to arrive, or is it move Mills into the midfield to just some talent?
It's an important part of it in terms of getting people back from injury. But I mean, they shot themselves in the foot in the first quarter. If they turned up slightly in the first quarter, they would have won this game. Last week, I think that was a good game of footy. I know we're putting question marks on the Bulldogs now after one bad loss against Freo. But last week, I think it was a good game of footy, and the Bulldogs played well, and they weren't that far off. I think with a few injuries, it shouldn't take them too long. And they, as we said last week, they just need to get the game on their terms, and which they somewhat did to an extent. And then Collingwood did play well.
Yeah, what's worrying is they've lost two games at the SCG already.
Which should be there.
Which means they've got more away than home at the moment. And that's just about... The scales are just not tipping in their favour the way things are going. So I could quite easily... see them missing out. They've just had a...
It's one of those things. It could eventually get just too far, and we just think it can't happen now. But quite often, three or four rounds in, there's a team which we expected to be good that's lost all their games. We start writing them off because it's a good story. And then a lot of the time, they end up firing.
And then one time, there was after nine rounds in, Richmond were so bad. And then they made finals anyway.
Yeah.
The glory days of Richmond. That is the best moment they've had in like 40 years. But let's move on. To Richmond.
That's not that long, is it?
It's 37.
Like
30,
yeah, okay.
About 40 years.
We had a better moment.
Maybe this was their glory. It's a big win over West Coast.
It is. Thanks for getting us back on track. They beat West Coast by 11 points. Now let's go to our Richmond correspondent, who clearly has a lot of things to say.
I mean, I don't have that many things to say. It was a great win. And it's our best win, certainly this year and last year, which we haven't really played that many big games.
Oh, your win against Sydney last year was better.
But like,
you kicked a goal after the siren to win against the Grand Finals.
It didn't lead to it. It was like a one-off. Like, that's a great game. But like, it's not going anywhere because we weren't going to make
finals. Are you saying this is definitely going somewhere?
Yeah, well, I'm saying this is a potential
goal somewhere. I'd also put to you that you said the best game, not like the best game going forward. Nah, never mind.
But it's so like, what am I supposed to say? It's the best moment for our club in the past 2 years.
Best sign going forward. There you go, I've done it. But yeah, keep going.
Highly enjoyable. Really enjoyed beating that.
That was worth the promotion.
The thing which we haven't given enough airtime to, which we were talking about, their simple style, and they're playing more direct and they're getting goals out the back. But that's being able to happen through the fact that they've got a really quick forward line now. That's something which I didn't really look at. I mean, Butler is genuinely fast. Like, he had a couple of
Rioli's lightning.
Yeah. With Butler, he had a couple of fast moments in the first game. And I thought, oh yeah, he's got a bit of pace. But like, he's genuinely
got pace when Dusty Martin's sprinting into an open goal and he comes from 30 metres behind and gets ahead of him for the
he also loves an eddy as well.
Match-winning goal, Rioli's intercepts the ball, runs into the open goal. Butler again comes from like 40 metres away, sprints to the goal square. By the time he kicks it, he's standing next to him going,
"What do you mean?"
That was actually one of the funniest moments, wasn't it? It's like, I'm here. And Dan Rowley's just like, "I'm just going to kick goal legs."
There was a similar moment in the St Kilda Brisbane game where you saw Montaigne just standing in the goal square. Yeah. Like, dick move, but you know. But Jack Steele then ran up and wanted the ball. Go for it.
How much of an effect do you guys think the rain had that obviously Richmond were up by like a goal at three-quarter time. The rain was torrential from there.
Well, Richmond had turned the game in the third quarter, so you can't really ascribe the win to the rain.
So like, I thought we got like outplayed in the first half. I mean, like, I think
they should have put you away.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we definitely should have got put away in the first half, and their inaccurate kicking kept us in it. Although, I think we pushed them to difficult scoring options. So I think their inaccurate kicking... Like, I'm not saying it's, like, a good thing that we gave them so many scoring shots, but we did put them in, like, difficult positions to score.
In previous weeks, they were kicking them anyway.
Yeah.
you're lucky you got them on a bad week.
But, like, the third quarter was really frustrating because we genuinely dominated that game, and it didn't reflect in the scoreboard. Mm. And, like, I actually thought the rain was actually going to be a bad thing for us because we only got that one goal ahead.
Turns out West Coast can't play in the rain.
Well, I thought if we were three goals in front, like we should have been at three-quarter time and the rain started, then it would have been really good for us. But I think at 5 points, they could have easily kicked a goal. I think it's a 50-50 game.
Yeah, fair enough. I think you should be happy with the win and move on, personally. Don't ask for any more than you get at this point.
Look at my scarf, Rory.
How bad a loss is this for West Coast? I mean, they're not shaking the flat track bully tag.
It's just the exact same thing over and over again. They still lack something... It's just, they're a weird side. Now, Jared Healy's come out and said they need more pace, but they need more pace inside the contest and getting moving the ball through the contest. They don't really need it, because Gaff's pretty quick. Jedda's quick, but doesn't do anything.
Gaff was big.
No, Jedda just doesn't get the football. Jedda's no good.
I think you'll find I mentioned that when I said doesn't do anything.
Yeah, he's no good. I have no hope for
him. It is interesting. I thought the Sinclair Jedda trade was going to be a big deal. Neither of those players are relevant.
Sinclair's like a gold jacket, green jacket trade.
Yeah, exactly. Well done. Yeah. Keeping on brand, I like it. But yeah, Sinclair's like Sydney's third best ruckman. Like, he's not in their best 22. It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's move on to the next game of the round.
Oh, let's not.
I really enjoyed this game. I thought it was a cracking game of football.
Righto.
Geelong pretty comprehensively beat Melbourne by 29 points. Like, they really deserve to win. It's the most complete performance they've had all year.
It's really frustrating me that they're 3-0. They're not.
They should have lost two games in the last 2 weeks.
They're a very vanilla team, I'll decide. Like, I think they're good defensively, but the only spark they get going forward is from Dangerfield. Like, I just... They're not exciting. I don't really know how they're trying to play. They were lifeless against us. God, they were lucky. My God.
They Guthrie a couple of times last year looked like he was turning into a really good player.
They
could
one or two games.
Break the game open and looked like a bit of X factor. But they really don't have anything else. Duncan's sort of an outside player, but he's also a very one-paced outside player.
He is.
Joel Selwood's jet, but very much inside. And when he's on the outside, isn't particularly damaging. Like, he'll get the ball enough, but he's not going... You don't feel more worried than you normally would with
any player. He's not an exciting player.
No, they're just... And even Dangerfield, his kicking is really letting him down this year. The amount of missed targets
he did last year as well, but like, he was brilliant.
He was brilliant.
In the last quarter, it was just...
Some of his brilliant is just wasted at times. And it's just... Something missing.
What he does good outweighs it by that much.
I 100% agree, but
it doesn't.
There's nothing around him, and they rely on him so much for what he brings. When it doesn't come off, I think it really stands out because they don't seem to have that ability to move the ball quickly and really score. Good news for them: Tom Hawkins is playing quite well.
He is. He got caught out once or twice, one on one with Oscar. And like, what is going to happen? Like,
Oscar won one of those.
Oscar actually played alright, man. He's the skinniest defender against the biggest forward in the comp. Like, I actually felt sorry for him. He actually played okay.
Yeah, but, it's a tough matchup for anyone.
I came out of that day not just thinking on the day. I think Melbourne are a better team than Geelong, and I'm not saying that means Melbourne are great. I'm saying that. Geelong at
this before you like get aggressive about it, I actually think I agree with you on that.
Yay!
Like, you were without Gawn for the vast majority of the game, without Hogan for the entire game, without Lewis for the entire game, hobbled Bernie Vince.
Like, if Max doesn't get injured, we win. If Jesse plays, we win. If we kick okay, we win. If they kick okay rather than unbelievably well for goal, we win.
Yeah, pretty much everything went wrong for you to lose that game, which was fantastic as a neutral supporter.
Neutral supporter.
The thing which was most frustrating about it, it wasn't just the fact we were missing goals. Like, that's fine. But then they would go down the other end and you'd have Menzel kick some ridiculous banana goal from the boundary. It's just... Oh, God, it was ridiculous.
Sometimes football feels unfair.
The game was... It was the most unfair game I've seen. It was just all just set
against
us.
Would you say you were the better team even though you lost by 29 points?
Yeah, I know. But we were. And I have someone to back me up on that. The scoring shots.
This is what the argument.
The last quarter was
no one cares about this but me and you.
There was nothing we could do. Like, it was just, they were going to win every hit out. And Watts was great. Like, Watts did everything he possibly could. But we were not going to win one hit out. Dangerfield knew exactly where the ball was going to go. And you just can't
Dangerfield's stop. Not a player you can stop if you can just read the ball that well.
It was just ridiculous.
And like, it's the first time, probably, in his Geelong career that he's had that dominant a ruckman. Maybe against Hawthorn, because Hawthorn's rucks are terrible. But, like, the contrast that with the week before with what Stanley got done, like, how Proust treated Geelong. He's still fantastic, but nowhere near the ease of what he was doing you in the last quarter.
There was nothing we could do about it. We were helpless.
And the weird thing is you've been so dominant in the midfield.
Yeah.
Up until then.
If I'm going to offer any little piece of analysis apart from me being angry out of this game...
I was hoping for more sad, but...
I was having a close look at our starting with 8 defenders, 9 defenders sort of thing. It's bloody crazy the way all that happens. Like, it's very sporadic. It's not... Each clearance is different. Like, we started off, the first few, it was just... We had our 6 defenders, then we had 2 up on the edge of the square, just on their own. And I had a look down the other end. Geelong also had 2 starting, like they were the loose men on the other side.
Yeah.
Our wingmen would just walk up and man them up. And then we just have... It was effectively, rather than having wingmen running in, we just have 2 bolting from the top of the screen, which is kind of sensible. Like, so yeah, our back line's not exposed.
It gets it moving the direction you want it to.
Yeah, it's just... Yeah, it makes good sense. But, like, Bob, as the game went on, like, there were points where there was, like, it seemed like 6 people just huddled around at the edge of that square ready to run in. It was just... Like, I really like having an innovator as a coach, and I think it's really, really smart. But it just seems a little sporadic at the moment. I'd like to be a bit more structure to it.
Yeah, to be honest, I think it being sporadic is by design, because if you do the same thing over and over again, teams will work you out. So, to be honest, I think that's why it's sporadic. But yeah, I agree with you. It's weird what they're doing. It's probably smart, because you want the ball moving straight down the guts, which, with wingmen running in from the side, it's hard to do. But
yeah, well, we had last year, we had the Demon's Diamond or whatever they call it. And the problem with that was we had 4 defenders, so it did catch us out defensively. This time we don't. We don't have another wingman. We just have people running. It's pretty clever. Old goody, mate.
Yeah, it's sort of derived from that shotgun running that Wingard did in that prelim against Hawthorn.
Yeah, we're taken to a much bigger extreme.
Yeah, which, to be honest, that Wingard performance in the last quarter was phenomenal.
It was sick, yeah.
But let's move on. Let's get to the next game.
Are we going to cry about Maxi, or is that later in the...
Later.
Okay.
Delay.
Okay.
I can hold
off the tears.
Build it up, Scott. You can do this. Adelaide, Port. Adelaide won by 17 points. Are Port the real deal? That's what I'm leading to out of this. I know Adelaide are good.
Yeah, that's interesting. It was a 17-point result. You've decided Adelaide are amazing.
No, I know Adelaide are good.
You're now querying Port Adelaide based on losing.
Yeah, this doesn't... Oh, it was close for the vast majority of the game. Like, late, it was quite close. This doesn't really change my perception on Adelaide. They're about where I thought they were last week, which maybe with Hawthorn I should put them down. but the Port haven't put a foot wrong yet, and I'm starting to go top 8's reasonably likely.
It gets to that point. How many rounds do we have to wait before we start saying they've changed? Like, they've just been such an inconsistent football team. I can't quite be before
6 rounds in and they're still performing well. Do you go?
I think that's about the time. I'm not convinced yet. I can just see them coming out next week and just putting in a stinker, which will be a defensive stinker. That's what happens. They just completely break down defensively. And they'll have 130 points scored against them. And we'll start thinking,
they do have GWS.
Okay, well, that won't tell us much. If they lose that by 100 points, they still could
be fourth if they lose by 100 points in GWS.
Gold Coast lost by 100 points and then smashed off on by 86. Something, look, I've decided Pendlebury's the sexiest footballer. But G Texan did put his hand.
What up. He turned on was, in the last was, corner. Yeah. Oh,
that's definition of sexy. That one where he took the mark and wheeled around from like 60.
Made me a little moist, Scott.
Yeah, fair enough.
And Sloan was big into it. Like, their leaders stood up in that game, which is exactly what you want to see.
I'm really happy Sloan's become as good as he is, because for a long time he was a very underrated player.
Do you think he's become as good as he is, or he's recognised?
Yeah, a bit of both. Like, he's become more consistent with it.
Yeah.
But
he stepped into the number one midfielder's role, and he's fulfilling that role.
There was a long time which he was underrated.
If Adelaide do go on to win minor premiership, like, it's a potential possibility that they might.
Yeah.
Do you think it's possible or likely that Sloan is going to win the Brownlow?
Yeah.
You're still thinking about your betting, Marty.
No, I'm not thinking about the betting. I'm just wondering what you guys think.
I hope so.
I'm all worried about Dusty.
He polled pretty well last year, and last year was the first year he was recognised as an announced star, which always means you sort of get a depressed amount of votes. So he'll attract more votes than what he's worth compared to last year.
And I think he'll probably,
if Adelaide finish in the top two, they'll win enough games where he turns on enough good performances. It's a really good chance.
It's not a bad bet. It's a fair rough.
He's actually quite low. He's like $17 or something.
Hmm.
Ooh. T's $51.
Mm.
Gary Ablett.
Yeah, he would have
if he spent the whole year.
You have a few votes banked already.
Oh yeah, we got three yesterday.
That's amazing.
Although Aaron Hall was great too. So good. Anyway, let's still keep talking about this game. Do you have anything else to say?
I was hoping you did. That's why you brought it up.
No, okay, let's move on.
I was watching the other game, actually, strangely enough.
Yeah, I didn't watch either of them.
It was shocking.
Good analysis. Freo defeated the Dogs by 16 points. Lay it on me, Scott. Look, what happened?
I really wanted to watch the other game.
Are the Dogs pretenders now?
Free to air and up. No, they're not. Freo were bloody exciting. I still love them. I think I forgot how much I loved them. Gee, they were really exciting. They ran. That was it. And we've been talking a bit about a bit of youth came in. They're saying a bit of youthful exuberance.
I've heard 1,000 people say they ran and that was what changed. I'm not sure I believe it.
You should have seen it. They did. It was one of those things. It was a good game of
with
footy
their legs.
And it was high pressure. And you just kind of, like, teams just get into it, kind of, and just start doing things that they wouldn't normally do. And, like, they use the ball all right. Mm. Like, it wasn't ball use, it was run. And it was, the hills were great. I think that was the main difference.
Well,
both hills dominated.
That's what we've been talking about. We've been saying for the last 2 weeks, they should be able to run. They've got two really good runners on the wings, and a lot of teams have proven that's enough.
But they looked like they weren't being directed to do it. Like, it looked as if they weren't even really trying.
Flipping the bird to Ross and saying, "We're going to play exciting football, no matter what you say, demon."
Yeah, maybe that is what happened. But no, it was good to watch. You know, they were good in the clearances. There were a few very, like, big clearance wins. But their transition was good as well, which, you know, I don't think I've ever seen.
Yeah, was Sandilands a big factor in that clearance?
He was important, yes. Yeah.
Did he make a meal of Campbell? It was soon to be Will Minson.
I don't think it wasn't one of those games which you watch where you just think the ruckman is just taking the piss. Like, it's just all about the ruckman. But it was very important, obviously.
Okay. Did you see that question that was asked in the press conference?
Yes. Yeah.
That was so exciting.
Yeah.
That is. A journalist from WA asked, "Is Will Minson going to come in to support Tom Campbell next week?" Luke Beveridge goes, "Probably not. He's retired."
might be a bit difficult.
We'll ask the AFL that one.
But I don't think this is the end of the world for the Dogs.
Premiership earned you a lot of credits.
Yeah, and I think they were very good in the first two rounds. I think they were good wins against teams who played some good footy.
Yeah, it remains to be seen. One thing I've learned out of this round particularly is I'm very confused about what I think about the first three rounds. Like, every team I look at's made, "Oh, you've played really well that day," and then lost a stupid one.
Well, I was sitting there grumpy on Sunday night thinking about Melbourne, thinking, "Geez, we've blown this." And I started thinking, there aren't that many teams who are really, there were a lot of teams we thought were going around the eight. There aren't that many which you say they are going
very
to
few.
I mean, there's Richmond
really grabbed,
and Port Adelaide have been fairly convincing.
Yeah, very few teams have sort of grabbed their position by the scruff of the neck. It's very open still, and I'm
quite interested to see how it goes. Like, yeah. I'm very confused about how the ladder's going to shake out. Normally, after three rounds, you've got a clearer idea of what's going on than you did at the start of the year. I don't think
there's a point around now where we start. There's some results which come, and it's just, how did that happen?
Mm.
And you just think this completely changes everything we thought. It takes quite a few rounds in before you can really get an idea.
Like, before the season, like, just going off this point, we kind of thought there was, like, four good teams, or four very good teams, and a lot of good teams, like, chasing that. Whereas now we kind of, like, have two good teams and a lot of very mediocre teams.
We had the three at the top, didn't we? We had GWS, yeah. Sydney, and the Bulldogs. I still think GWS and the Bulldogs are going to be right up there.
I think you kind of swap Sydney and Adelaide.
Yeah, I was thinking Sydney from that. It's the round off the floor.
Yeah, yeah.
You drop Sydney out of that category just because of how tough their start's been. I think it'll be very tough for them to make the top four from here, let alone the top eight. I mean, the other way around.
Top four would be tough.
So, like, there's just a lot of teams that really could, if things break their way, get that fourth spot.
Richmond might sneak in the four, Whitey.
I like this chat.
If it weren't for Max, I'd be saying we're a chance.
You probably would be the most likely without that injury.
I mean, like, before the season, I had you guys beating us.
Yeah.
I mean, Port would be surely the favourite at this point, wouldn't they? Of those teams?
Probably, but I'm just not sold. I can't quite jump on
it. They've got to prove it. Like, they've had so many credits in the bank since that prelim, and they've just been blowing it over and over again, rubbing it in our faces that we ever believed in them. So I've got to see it, but they're a very good chance. Anyhow, do you have anything else to say on that game?
No, I think we can move.
Okay, let's move on.
Five back? It's like, was he playing well?
He's played well every game. Yeah, he's not quite as dominant, I don't think.
Yeah, he was not as good as he was, you know, a few years back, which he was unbelievable. But he's a very, very good footballer.
You reckon he's working into it, or well. Is it something else? Or is this just what he is?
He's still playing well. He's just not, like, he was that dominant because it was Sanderlands down his throat every single time.
Do you think any of it is because he's not in as good a team? You don't notice that he's as good?
It could be a factor, but I think they don't quite have the same midfield chemistry as they did that year.
Yeah, fair enough.
Which makes it not as easy for him to get all the millions of clearances he used to. But then he's still doing everything else he used to, and he's still getting 30 touches, making a very strong impact on the game. He's a bloody good footballer. He's still right up there in the best.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But anyway, let's get on to the most important game of the round, the most exciting game of the round, the best game of the round, pretty much any superlative you want, it was. Gold Coast dismantled Hawthorn to the tune of 86 points.
You call an 86-point game the best game of the round? It was better than Collingwood defeating Sydney by a point?
In terms of level of satisfaction, absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
Bad a Hawthorn?
Yeah. So is that
you know how you asked for a pat on the back? I want a physical one right now. Like, did I call this this?
I'm with you. I very much enjoyed looking at that score. Like, that did give me a fair bit of joy. I'll give you that.
I felt like walking around after it just going, I am so smart. S-M-O-T. it came off perfectly.
Okay, can I ask, were Gold Coast good?
So this is the first time in a long time I've looked at Gold Coast and gone, oh yeah, you're talented. Like, they looked quite good. Jack Martin, outstanding performance.
He hasn't done that much for someone who they said was going to be the
They said he was the best kid they'd ever seen come through junior football.
This was after
Jager O'Meara had looked like the best kid to ever come through junior football.
And they said he was
football.
Better than O'Meara, and we're just like, holy crap.
And, like, he still played as a half forward that rotated to the wings a bit. But God, he was done. He kicked about four goals. Just so smooth. His hands are fantastic. Like, I see where the talent is. If he puts it together, he'll probably be a better version of what Bunnell could have been if he puts it together.
Okay.
And Bunnell had about as much talent as anyone
who
played the game.
Yeah.
I probably should say is, given he's still in the league.
Yeah. I wouldn't say he's incredible right now.
It's just not looking good. They just...
Sard...
Oh my God, I love him.
He's very good to watch, isn't he?
It was so funny. The commentary after he had that run was Jonathan Brown going, when I think about it, when he's healthy, he's probably one of the best halfback flankers in the league.
Not as good as Jaden.
Correct.
Jaden Hunter.
Oh, that's someone else.
Lloyd is all Australian team.
I did see that. And he was so good on the weekend. He was your best player for a large portion of that game.
He saved our ass.
But anyway, back to the most important game of the round. Tuukka Miller looks really good.
Tuukka Miller actually is good, and he has consistently been quite good. Even when they've been crap, he's been playing some good footy.
Yeah, I really like him. He runs hard, he's strong, he just does everything right. He moves forward to get goals. Barlow's helped their midfield depth. Mm-hmm. He's just another guy who can get 30 touches. They had like six people get 30 touches on the weekend. Ablett, we really need to talk about as good a performance as you could hope for.
Oh, that warms my heart.
I wouldn't say he was back. It wasn't his most dominant performance or anything, but it's just handy.
Well, just
having him back.
Just looking at the stats, it seemed like he had a slow start. I had a look when it looked
like
he had
like the first touch of the game, and I celebrated because it had taken him like 15 minutes the last two games to get a touch.
He kicked a goal early as well. Yeah. There was one stage where he had like 9 touches and a goal. It was around half time, and I thought, Ablett's not. I assumed Ablett was playing well.
Yeah.
The fact that they were winning, he wasn't, but then he looked at the stats at the end of that.
I really want to talk about Brandon Matera. This is a guy who kicked 6 goals out of nowhere. He was one of the more obscure players to kick 6 goals in a game like that I can remember in a long time. It's like Ryan Crowley kicking 7 against Essendon.
Yeah, that is interesting. He was their first Rising Star nominee. He was round 1 in their first year, yeah.
He's got a lot of talent, and he's a bit like Devin Smith, where you're not sure how good he is, but he's just in a worse team. But, oh, God, it was good to see him play well.
He'd spent 2 weeks in their resis prior to this week. He hadn't even played so far.
Yeah, true. There you go. Rocket selection was the issue. That's why they lost by 100 points the week before. Mm-hmm. And a guy who kicks 6 every week he plays. Technically true. Hawthorn, though. Oh, they're bad. It's so good. Like, they have nothing. They don't have a good forward line, they don't have a good midfield, and they don't have a good back line. And their ruckmen are the worst I've ever seen.
Their back line's weirdly gone to...
Gibson, like, without Gibson playing well, their structure breaks down.
The thing with... Is Gibson... Are we going to say Gibson's over the hill?
He hasn't lost anything athletically, really.
Well, he was never quick.
No, it doesn't feel like he should be, but he's just not getting to the ball. I was watching like Access Hilarious, a footy classified, or one of those, and they just showed footage after footage of him where he'd normally just have a massive fist on the ball, just getting a jump or something.
His strength as a footballer is being able to read it, and he's a very good kick.
He's just not getting to the same position.
I think he's just out of form.
The one thing they've had go well for them is Ryan Burton started looking good.
Mm-hmm.
I rate that kid.
I did hear higher raps on him in his first few games from a Hawthorn supporting mate. Said he was going to be unbelievable. What Hawthorn supporters say that about everyone.
Yeah, true. What happened to James Sicily?
he'll be right. He'll be a star. We know this.
What a shithead. Really worrying for them. They just have nothing out of the middle. Like, there's no drive generated at all. Guys, like, they're sort of hung on around their midfield, like Shields, just... There's nothing coming from them at the moment. Shields is like a vice-captain. So it's Isaac Smith, and Isaac Smith just can't do anything off his own boot. He has to be in a team that's playing well to really generate...
Shields is a boring player. Like, Shields isn't going to give you a
lot of... I know, but he's so highly rated by Hawthorn people. Like, it's just... He doesn't bring anything other than good, ordinary player.
Yeah, and he is a good ordinary player, and he's well liked for the fact that he's got a lot out of himself. But he's not going to give you drive. They need to be out. They've only really got Isaac Smith on the outside now.
And because Hartung's not playing, and not playing well when he is. Like O'Meara,
they desperately need O'Meara to dominate. And that's really unfortunate for a guy who hasn't played footy.
It also doesn't look like it's going to happen. Just from the last three.
Well, at some point, it could.
I'm just saying, not in the way that it used to. Like, he had 37 touches in round 2, but just...
Yeah.
He's got to get his spark back, and that's just not there.
Well, that's the shocking position that they put him in. They brought him into the team thinking, he is our saviour, he is the one who's going to do everything, and for a guy who's been out for 2 years, and in his mind, he'd just be happy to be playing footy.
There is an inordinate amount of pressure on him for what he's been through.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's get to the questions, because we've taken a long time here.
And we have a few of them. So we may have to cut some.
Can City and Hawthorn.
Wait, who's it from?
I think that one's from Bitters.
I just assume it's from Pooch.
Top one, I think, is from Adam Bitterstretch.
Okay.
Can City and Hawthorn make the 8 despite being 0-3?
Yes.
He's got it at 3-0, which confused me.
Yes, they both can.
Both.
They can.
Hawthorn categorically cannot. Hawthorn are a decent chance for the wooden spoon.
The question isn't will they.
You heard it here first.
The question isn't will they. The question is can they.
Hawthorn can't.
Sydney their team
can.
Isn't bad enough to be a bottom 14. Hawthorn. It's not. Their list is not that bad. If Gibson gets back in form, if O'Meara gets a bit of run back into him, Mitchell's been playing okay.
I'm going to bite my tongue so I don't say anything stupid, but they're not good. They're no chance for the 8.
I don't expect them to make the 8, but it's possible.
They've got Geelong next week. They're not a good enough team to come back from.
Geelong aren't great.
Yeah, but they're not Hawthorn.
Yeah, they'll beat Hawthorn.
But yeah, and Sydney are a much better chance because there's mitigating factors with injury, but their run is a lot tougher, I think.
We are.
That question actually came from Angus Archibald.
Oh, there we go. Thanks, fact checker. Doing your job.
That's the first question he's ever sent us, I think. So yeah, good to see you get some
mention. I think he sent one last week, actually. I don't think I asked it.
Okay.
Then we've got one from Pucci. He thinks if it keeps going wrong for Clarkson and Longmire, does their future start to be looked
at? No. You could not
welcome to Footy Classified.
Alistair Clarkson.
The thing I've heard like people say he might get poached, but do you think if
he wants to go?
I think that's more.
He's not going to get sacked.
No, I think that's more where the question was coming from.
It's a big question to buy the media.
Yeah, but I kind of transcribed it in my own words.
Okay, so the question is: are they going to leave the club?
That's
a very
yeah. It wasn't. Question. Wasn't. Yeah. Just answer it that way.
Well, I'm going to say what I said last year when we were talking about trades. I don't bloody know what Alistair Clarkson is thinking.
And you don't particularly care.
Well, I do care. It would be interesting, but I don't know. I think he's been at Hawthorn for long enough now, and he seems to be pretty set. He has a plan in terms of a rebuild. It doesn't seem to be working too well.
I don't think it's a good plan. No, how exciting is that St Kilda is going to get the number one pick this year?
Shut up. Why would that be exciting?
You have to explain that, Joel, don't you?
St Kilda have Hawthorn's first draft pick, which is a great move. What a stupid trade. Anyway.
Agreed. And Longmire won't be questioned because
he's won a flag.
Fine.
And Sydney have a brighter future as well, so he's got a lot more to look forward to. He's less likely to leave in either scenario, I think.
Jeez, you're bleak on Hawthorn.
They just suck. It's great. Who do you think needs to step up in winning the contested
football? Coming from Josh Byrne.
There we go.
Have you written these questions yourself? Just trying to get us to talk about Hawthorn? The first three questions are all bagging Hawthorn.
I sorted them thematically.
So how many do we have?
This is the last Hawthorn-related question.
Who needs to start winning contested footy?
Anyone.
Okay, yeah, exactly. Mitchell's been all right.
Mitchell's been really good at winning the contested footy. His possession numbers are through the roof.
Yeah, they...
That's not the problem.
Well, who do they have as genuine inside player? They have Mitchell, they have Shields.
Langford's playing as a tagger on the inside.
He's not a great player, Langford.
He just doesn't use the ball well. If they just play him, he could be a solid inside midfielder, sort of Leroy Greenwood-esque, and they might get a bit of it and do fine with it. But there's no saviour coming for
them. I'm assuming Hodgie's half-back.
Yeah.
He wouldn't be capable of playing midfield these days.
They probably have to put him at spurts if they want to save their season, to be honest.
Mm. He wouldn't be able to run out much of a game.
I doubt it. He's on too much light knees. He doesn't have the energy.
Yeah, that's the issue. And then they probably need to get the old Jagerbomb getting a bit of inside ball and turning it into outside ball.
I don't think there's a saviour coming, which is why I put that question in.
God damn it, Rory.
Did West Coast get exposed by Richmond small forwards? Does that ruin their structure, the speed of it? This is from Pucci.
This is from the
one of his 67 questions he sent in today.
I don't think the fact that Richmond small forwards were so good is that much of a symptom of West Coast issues.
Yeah,
it's a sign that it's good for Richmond, I think. I think a lot of teams will have issues with that this year.
Let's talk about Cyril Rioli's goal. No, not Cyril Rioli. Dan Rioli's goal.
That was another question asked by Pucci. it's a very strong contender.
Very hard to beat.
I don't have much more
to say than that. It was just a great goal.
The thing which was special about it was there was a point at which it looked like the ball was just going to trickle out of bounds. He was just running over there. 99.9% of the time, players will just take it out of bounds, and who cares? And he was able to just create something out of, like, absolutely nothing.
Yeah, that's what makes a goal special for me. When someone does something that isn't, like, of the norm. Like the way he just shook that chasing defender by just, it wasn't a goose step, but I forget what type of step it's called.
Mm.
Just with his back turned to him, absolutely bitched him.
And then finished with a banana.
Yeah, just, that's what makes a goal special. And that's like why Treloar's goal was special. He did something that not many other players in the competition can do. I see enough players dribble it along the ground from the boundary. They all know the way the ball runs.
They can all do it these days. It's kind of boring. It's just every player can do it. No, like, not many players can do what Rioli did.
No, that was phenomenal. But let's move on. Top five ruckman, Scott.
Chris is a top five ruckman. Okay, am I beginning, am I?
You are. You're going to get it wrong.
Okay, am I starting with the...
Go number five and I'll say my number five.
So the fifth best?
Yep.
I'm very much struggling to go between Sam Jacobs.
Oh, interesting.
I really rate Jacobs. I think he's been a very underrated ruckman for a long time. You have him high? Yeah. Grundy hasn't done it for as long as Jacobs has.
Yeah, but that Grundy's was the difference been for me. Better.
Grundy's been terrific recently, and he has something which not many ruckmen have. Like the way he moves around the ground, you don't see it, really.
Yeah.
But Jacobs is a very, very consistent tap ruckman, and he's not bad around the ground either. He can take a grab here and there.
Yeah. I got Pruce.
You what don't a star. Really, do you? He's played three games.
I don't, but what a star.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Oh, thank God.
I got him six.
He should be pretty sure. Wait, so who do you have as your...
I want to talk about Pruce first. This is why I delayed it. I
want to talk about Pruce.
You do, he's so good.
He should have been suspended, mate. He needs someone in the back, the big dog.
Oh, it's all fun and games. It was just clumsy.
It was a dead set clumsy. I was speaking to my brother about it. A clumsy ruckman. Just like, they don't understand. There's nothing you can do about it. It's just being a big spud.
Oh, I love him. He out-Mumford by like a long way on the weekend.
And he can actually tap her, which Mumford can't really.
No, he's actually tall as well. Mumford's pretty much the size of a key forward, but built like a brick shithouse. Mm. So he just destroys people physically. But, oh, Bruce. Did you see his goal from 60 off a step? Oh.
Is he better than Goldie? That's the question.
Like, going forward, he's the one we're going to have to pick because he's 7 or 8 years younger. I don't think he's a better ruckman.
Would you pick him as number one ruckman now?
Probably. Like, the only reason I ever would be because Goldie's going to be a lot better as a forward. And if you have to play both for the team, that's a better way to do it. I still would
rather have Goldie. Goldie will want to leave.
Yeah, I know. But so again, we got Bruce. Question. Ah, who cares? We got Bruce.
Mate, Goldie's your favourite.
Oh, I should have won a Brownlow 2 years ago, but who cares? Anyway, no, I think I'm going to Sanderlands.
You're going with Sandy there. I love Sandy.
Yeah, okay, it was between him and Jacobs, like you. He's got the runs on the ball with his tap ruckman. He's too injury prone to really put any higher for me. And he's not really mobile and doesn't do enough around the ground at this age to... Like, he's in on reputation for me here.
I actually have him as just above. I have him as my fourth.
Okay. Best ruckman. Fourth is where I've got Grundy.
I'm just such a big fan of Aaron Sanderlands. I've never seen a ruckman dominate a game as clearly as he has at times. Like, he wins games single-handedly at his best. And I think if he's able to be fit this year, he will be... Like, he won't be at his best, but he will be every bit as good as...
I've seen Goldie be more dominant.
I doubt it. Remember that
Essendon game?
Yeah, okay, that was pretty incredible.
He had 27 touches, like 50 hit-outs.
What about Sandy's final in Geelong? Three goals. Do you remember that in Geelong? No. It was...
I remember them winning that game.
The big
game.
Upset. Sandy was ridiculous. Like, it was... The game was won by Aaron Sanderlands. Like, it was crazy.
I was going to say, who was your ruck against? But then I remembered Goldie was ruck against Sean McKernan.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, so who do you have?
I got Grundy.
You've got
Grundy. He's so good around the ground. His tap work's good enough.
It's improved outside.
It's not... It used to be a real flaw. Like, I remember railing on him in the first few rounds of last year, but... It's now nothing. It's almost a strength. But his around the ground work is he's a rich man's Stefan Martin.
He was always good around the ground.
Yeah.
And he's now made up for a lot of those issues with tap work.
Yeah, number three.
Number three, I put in Goldie.
I still
have him there. I still rated very high a couple of years ago. Probably the best rucking year you'll probably ever see, really.
Yeah, he broke the hit outs record for a single game. Was phenomenal around the ground.
God, I'd love him if he didn't play for North.
And he's really sexy. In terms of being a ruckman, he is the sexiest ruckman in a normal sense of being sexy. There are, like, ruckmen are sexy in their own right because of the tap work, but he's got the sexiest around the ground stuff. Because
how do you compare him to Grundy around the ground?
Just as smooth, but probably slightly less prolific because it's a bit, bit ganglier.
If Grundy can get to his best, it'll be unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. He's already looking like doing that. Like, he's 22 or something. It's on
the cards. He's on, exactly.
Like, it's sort of a 50-50 shot at this point.
If he can make the most out of himself, he will be an unbelievable footballer.
Yeah, so I've got Nick Nat. I think the year off is as well a contributing factor.
Right, so just get this straight. You'll have Nick Nat there, and then you'll have Goldie is but just behind Maxie, right? All right. I have Nick Nat.
Yeah, look, he's a genuinely elite tap ruckman. His creativity with it is
his tap works phenomenal.
He's very sexy in the air, and he's just not quite consistent enough around the ground.
That's his
Contested marking, unless it's a hanger, it's not really there. He just doesn't bring enough. And like when he's resting forward, he's okay, but that's not as much around the ground stuff as it's playing him as a forward. And when he's in the ruck, he doesn't really get the ball. Like the amount of uncontested marks he takes is minuscule.
He only gets contested possessions. Like, his uncontested possession stats would be like almost nothing.
It's either he's not working hard enough or he's just dumb. I'm not sure which it is.
I'm going with dumb.
Yeah?
I reckon he just doesn't get it around the ground. He just does not know where to go.
Yeah, fair enough. Number two, you've got Nick Nat.
I do.
I got Maxie. Two injury prone.
You're an idiot.
Two injury prone.
You are an idiot. There is no way that you still think Goldie's better than Max.
Two knee recos. Now a long-term hamstring injury. What's he got? 6 months left?
He's had 2 years.
He's going to retire at the end of the year.
No, he's not. He's still got plenty of time. Mate, he had 2 years without getting an injury. Mate, he's the best.
He didn't have quite 2 years.
Yeah, he did. He's played the last 4 years.
I might interject here and ask how longevity goes into this calculation, seeing as Max Gorn played a total of one good season.
Yeah, but it was really, really good. And then he started this year looking like he was going to be as good as
Goldie's best year. So, like, he doesn't have the best. He doesn't
Goldie's
have
been injured for a year, mate.
He hasn't been injured. He's playing through it. He can play through his injuries, unlike Mr. My hamstring.
You expect Max to run out there with a damaged tendon in his hamstring.
Mate, Max Goldie fell over.
Yeah, that's another thing. Maxie shouldn't have fallen over. It's his own fault.
You're a dickhead. Maxie is clearly the best ruckman.
He is not. But anyway, that's it for the questions. So let's speed through the tips.
Yeah.
West Coast, Sydney. Good game.
That is a fair start.
Defining for Sydney.
Right up there.
Just about. West Coast.
Yep.
North Dogs.
Well, the big Good Friday game.
Oh, very exciting.
It actually is kind of exciting. I'm pretty happy.
Are you going to go?
Ooh, I haven't thought about it, but maybe I will.
Yeah, like, bit of history. I'm excited for it. We'll lose, but I'm excited for it.
Yeah, Doggies are winning.
Especially with Dogs coming off a loss.
Yeah,
they're going to be quite angry.
Like, coming back from Perth, it can happen at times.
Oh, yeah, good point. Melbourne Freo.
It doesn't matter. It's still going to be the Dogs.
Yeah.
I'm not that confident about us anymore. We'll probably have our four most important players out.
Lewis, your fourth most important player?
Oh, Lewis would be up there in terms of the experience he gives us. But either way, Max, Jesse, Bernie, and Lewis.
Not really good.
But I'm still going to tip us. No, he's in doubt. Yeah.
The thing is, you had a player off the ground against Geelong, and Bernie hobbled. So your fade-out's a bit more
understandable. God, we should have won that game.
Your fade-out's a little bit more understandable. So I think with actual replacements, they're obviously not going to be as good.
Jake Spencer will be right.
Who? You dropped someone for last week as well.
Brayshaw.
Yeah. So Brayshaw's good enough.
And we got to drop Hannon as well. After a good first game, he's been non-existent. But anyway, we should start talking about Melbourne selection. I'm still going to tip us. I've got to stay true.
Yeah, I'm going to go with you as well. GWS Power.
GWS.
Big game for the Power.
If it was in Adelaide, it'd be very, very...
Yeah, especially given how GWS played in Adelaide last time. If the Power performs, it's a big tick for them. I can't see them getting over the line either way, though.
Yeah, GWS haven't quite convinced us yet, but still.
No. Carlton, Gold Coast. This is interesting.
This is a very interesting game. I actually really struggled to tip this. I'm going to go with Gold Coast, because Carlton, I'm still sure, aren't any good. Gold Coast, I'm unsure. Gold Coast, I don't really know what they are. So I'll go with what I'm confident at. Carlton, no good. Gold Coast to win.
Yeah, I'm just backing in the talent here. Carlton have some, but not a lot. Gold Coast have a lot.
Very little.
And in Etihad, it's not going to be wet again. So I doubt pressure will be as much of a factor. Anyway, Adelaide, Essendon.
Adelaide.
Yep. Sure. Good. Short Essendon, discussion.
Great.
Collingwood, St Kilda.
Another very, very interesting one. This is at Etihad. And for that reason, I'm going with St Kilda. But I'm not confident.
I'm going Collingwood.
Good, I'm happy about that.
I think St Kilda are fairly ordinary. I don't think Armitage might be back, but Stephen, I don't think will be. I just don't think with their midfield decimated, I think Collingwood will control the game.
I'm not confident in the slightest.
And
so.
Like, they can't keep relying on Riewoldt forever. Brisbane, Richmond.
They can. He's been around for a while.
Oh, that's true. But eventually, it's not going to matter.
Brisbane, Richmond. Richmond. God damn it! How are they going to be 4-0?
I'll be there for the pod.
Oh.
The Richmond correspondent.
We should have a live interview with Pooch.
Oh, that'd be good.
Take a microphone.
No, we shouldn't. I assume you're also deep in Richmond.
Yes, I am. Hawks, Cats.
I'm not that confident, but Geelong.
Yeah,
I should be more confident than I am.
It's probably not surprising. I'm extremely confident.
Geelong aren't great.
Yeah, but Hawthorn suck.
Yeah, right.
But anyway, that's about it. That wraps it up for the fourth episode of the second ever season of the Plebs on Footy podcast. Thanks for listening. Give us a like on Facebook. Share us, I guess. And yeah, or maybe review us on iTunes. We're actually on iTunes in a surprising amount of professionalism.
We've been on iTunes for ages.
Yeah, I know, but like, does this seem like a podcast that should be on iTunes? No. Thanks for listening.